let God be praised, the one who has graced us and enabled us and called us to this wonderful ministry. He had made us an able ministers of the New Testament, you know. And it will be really, I really don't want to do any other thing than being an able minister of the New Testament, because like being another minister, we all coming out will be a hard work, a tiring work.
Condemnation and death.
Yes, it will be like the chief police, because I was reading the book of Acts chapter 4, they were saying the police of the temple. So there's some jobs like that, as the police of the temple. We had made us an able ministers of the new covenant. And again, we want to thank the Lord that based on our own merit, we cannot even have made the list. Would you have made the list?
No, that's why I said he made us able. Because he made us able ministers.
So he pre-qualified us for this role.
The ability was of him. He made us able. Can you see that? Able ministers of the new covenant.
So looking into ourselves, we do not have the reputation. We do not even make the, we cannot make the cut-off
list. In fact,
list.
He didn't make us ministers and then say, go and get the ability and come back and minister. He made us able ministers. So made us ministers and also give us the ability to minister.
No wonder he said that if anyone will speak, let him speak as an oracle with the ability that God gives. That God so he does not want you to go into yourself and look in and pick up something and say, something with the ability that he gives.
It's
what a very relaxing job that puts, that is up prayers, is up pressures that are off you.
Amen.
Just ministry with the ability. And so we are grateful that we are part of this. And that is what the Lord is doing with our lives. And so also in the heart of appreciation and gratitude, we have come to for service this today to the coming as a minister. And we just pray and we hope that as you walk in the light, we encourage you to walk in the light today as he is in the light, so we can have fellowship together.
Amen.
You know, and we know that, knowing fully aware that the Lord of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins.
From all sins.
So welcome back to the Exposé 247 to the Bucket Ministry series. So I hope you have not forgotten about that. We have like so many episodes, so many web episodes. You can get that and know where we stop from our YouTube page or the Facebook page. So let's go.
Okay, now welcome viewers all over the world to a new exciting episode of the Bucket Ministry Series. Don't forget, we are looking at the life, the discourse between the Samaritan woman and Jesus as a springboard or as a framework for us to understand the implication of the gospel. Let me remind you, the scriptures, one of the epistles, I think 1 Timothy 2, did say that God's desire is that all men will come to the knowledge of salvation, that God wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That is what this Bucket Ministry series is all about, to bring us to the knowledge of what we have. You see, that's what we are actually on about on this series. You see, for unbelievers who have not given their life to Jesus, they will need to know what Jesus did for them on the cross. For you, if you are a believer, you are listening to this, what you need to know is what you have received in Christ Jesus. Because if you don't know what you have received in Christ Jesus, your experience in life might not be any different from somebody who has not even encountered Christ. Have you noticed that Jesus was in the boat with them when he said, let's go over to the other side. But even though Christ was in the boat, the experience of the disciples in the fact that they came across a storm, the experience of what they faced was not a problem, because, for example, you being a believer does not automatically immune you from life circumstances. But what was the problem was not about what was happening. It was about their response, their reaction to what was happening. You cannot respond like somebody who has not received the grace of God. Your response is what differentiates you. Your reaction, how you see things and how you deal with things, is what separates you from those who have not received the grace of God into their life. And that's the focus of the Bucket Ministry series, that through this series, through the discourse between this woman and Jesus, we will understand the implication of the gospel, so that in life we can see things, we can react, we can respond, we can deal with life, not just in time, but in eternity, as somebody who has received God's goodness and favor. And that's what we are on about on this Bucket Ministry series. So join us as we go back to where we stopped in our last transmission. Now, John chapter 4, the fourth chapter of the book of John. Now, go straight with us to the 14th verse, which is where we start. The 14th verse in the fourth chapter of the book of John. Can you read that, please, when you have it? The 14th verse of the fourth chapter of the book of John.
Anyone who drinks this water, again, we never trust. Not ever.
Okay.
The water I give will be an artesian spring within.
Okay.
Gushing fountains of endless life.
Now, good. Now, see, Jesus makes a proposition, or you might want to say a presentation to this woman. And Jesus said, there's one thing about what I'm bringing. There's one thing about what I've come to do in this world. There's one thing about my mission. There's one thing about my vision. There's one thing about everything I'm on about. Jesus said, what I'm offering would ensure that you don't thirst again. And then, please, you know one thing for sure which you need to understand. The issue of thirst comes up again. We talked about this to some extent in our last transmission. Now, it's not very hard to conceive the notion that when somebody is thirsty, you give them water, isn't it? If you're thirsty, you can drink juice or you can drink just water. But thirstiness can only be satisfied by drinking. That's what we know. So every time you see this analogy of Christ saying, I'm giving what? Waters for thirst. Please, you can then completely say he's talking about satisfaction. It's just an allegory. It is just a kind of, you know, when you use this kind of figure of speech in English, just to simply say, I have come to bring satisfaction. That's all Jesus is trying to say. So the thing about thirst and water is all about what? Satisfaction. So Jesus was simply saying, her life is all about satisfaction. And I am bringing a kind of satisfaction, a kind of completion, a kind of a sense of fulfillment that I'm bringing to you. Nothing else in this world can bring that same satisfaction, that same completion, that same fulfillment to your life. Not in the way I'm going to bring it. This is a representation he was making to the Samaritan woman. Can you see that? And so that's what we see. He said, what Jesus then made a difference between his own satisfaction and that which the world will give us. Can you see? He made a distinction between this fulfillment he was bringing and the one you can get from the world. He made this separation between what he was offering in terms of satisfaction and what you can get from other things other than the grace of God. And the distinction he made was this. Look at verse 14. He said, whosoever drinks of this water, whosoever gets meaning or satisfaction from life, from any other thing, how can you tell the difference? Say, the what? He's assuring you and I that you can try it out, you can test it, or you can look at others who have tried it out. He said, I'm telling you, every satisfaction, every sense of fulfillment you derive from any other thing, Jesus is saying the law of diminishing return will set in on any satisfaction from anywhere. That is what Christ is saying. But said, if you get meaning, if you get value, if you get fulfillment from what I'm bringing through the gospel, he said, trust me, you will have a satisfaction that will not grow old. You will have a satisfaction that will not become stale. You will have a satisfaction that will ever be enduring, a sense of completion that will never grow old on you. And that's what he said. Now that reminds me, in John chapter, there's a place in John chapter 6, I think, where Jesus said, do not labor for meat that what perishes. He's just saying there are some satisfaction, and in fact, which is a good thing. The Lord is not denying the fact that you can get meaning in life without Christ Jesus. He's not denying that fact. You see? Look at today. A lot of people in this world today don't believe in the gospel. People are trying to find other ways to make sense of their life. You don't have to be a Christian for people to say, I think I'm fulfilled in what? In life. People say that. People write that. People make that kind of proposition. Say, if you ask them, are you happy? They say, yes, I think I'm happy with my life. And you ask them, why are you happy? They have things they look around them that makes them say, yes, I think I'm happy with life. I think life is good for me. They look at everything. They look at things. Maybe something is going on for them. Something is going great for them in their lives. They say, yes, I can look at that thing. And I think I'm happy with life. So Jesus is not denying the fact that people can have a sense of satisfaction from life. All he said is, watch it. They will what? Thirst. It's going to lose its worth. Watch it. It might sound exciting at the moment. It might sound great at the moment. It might sound wonderful at the moment. He said it will not last. Watch it. It's going to diminish. The satisfaction they are getting from that thing will begin to go down over time. That's what he guaranteed us. And that's the fact he's made in this discourse with this woman. Just one or two.
It's good that we know that the Lord is not actually denying the alternative realities. People are getting tired today and they are moving away from some things that are maybe traditional set values and some things they know that served them in the past. And feel like we can forage our own path and look for new alternatives. And so people are trying to find new meanings, new definitions, and redefinings going on. But again, there's something again at the latter part of the verse. We can say, the water that we give him will become a spring inside of him. We were saying that this water that I'm putting in you are not going to depend on somebody else. Because today, people are like, okay, fine, if you are introducing me to something else, it might still be like I have to run to somebody. I have to run to a place. No, what I'm going to do is like it's self-reliant, it's God-reliant, and I'm putting it inside of you, all alone by yourself. It is inside of you, welling up. And so this flow is not attached to somebody else, it's not dependent on somebody else again. It is right inside of you, and that is freedom.
Now, thank you for that. Now, you mentioning about depending on something else. So this actually brings us to the point where the Lord Jesus began to speak in one of the places in the Gospel, I think Matthew, where he said, do not put your treasure upon the earth.
Okay.
I mean, the thing that you place so much...
We have some of it in the episode.
If you check my previous episode, we did talk about that. And he gave us a stern warning about that. He said, the reason why it's not safe to put the value of what is important to you in life, the most important worth to you in life, where you derive your meaning from, is that the danger there is because thieves can break in, like you said. If it's external, thieves can break in. You know, that thing can be taken away.
Yes.
I mean, if you put so much of your expectations on people, they can change their character against you. They can change the way they think about you. I mean, so you are there every time, always hoping that the person will not change what they think about you, because to you, that person is the ultimate. You think that because they are there, your life is settled. You think life makes sense. Life is meaningful because of that person. What about if they change what they think about you? What if that person is no more? If you trust in a system, in a government system, or you trust in a government policy, what about if the policy what changes? What about if the government what changes? If your trust is in resources or is in money or is in anything, see, you are in a situation that the most certain thing is uncertainty. Can you see? So Jesus is simply saying that if satisfaction has to come from those things around you, you're in a danger zone.
Then again, I might want to narrow it down. Most of some people are saying, yes, I know this is Jesus and I'm coming to Jesus kind of life. But yes, it is attached to some platform. It's attached to some denomination, to a gift, ministry gift. And so they say, we are going to get this life derived from this. And some will say, attached to this life of God through my life, through what the Lord is doing with me and what the Lord has promised, and see all these miracles and signs. So we still see some people, they are going by that way, going through that medium. So yes, we want to get the life of God. We they don't even want to risk using other alternative methods. Reality, we are coming through the life of God, but we are coming through this gift. We are coming through this platform. We are coming through the grace of God in the life of these people, and we have seen it his work. But we see that what Jesus was promising was not saying, I'm putting it in the priest for you, come to the temple for this. I'm going to put it, this my life is an individual work which is complete with you. With you. I'm putting this world, but all you need, I've already put it inside of you.
Thank you. So he's saying what essentially happens when you give your life to Jesus is the water releasing life of God comes into you, comes into your soul, comes into your heart, comes into your life. Now, thank God for that. That's why the book of Romans, chapter 10, says, if you believe in your heart, can you see that God raised Jesus from the dead, you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you be saved. It means salvation primarily or fundamentally, something happened within you. Something happened in your heart. Something happened in your spirit, man. And the scripture tells us that if anybody does not have the spirit of what? Christ. It doesn't belong to Christ. It means at salvation, you didn't just follow some ethical principles. At salvation, it wasn't just that you followed some rules and guidelines, or you tried to modify your life, or you tried to streamline your life to follow the teachings of a denomination, or you try to streamline your lifestyle to follow morality laws of the scriptures, well, those things might be good if they actually stay within the compartment of where they should be. But in reality, what happened at salvation was a revolution in your spirit man. Yeah. You received Christ into you. And that's why he's saying that the water I will give will be a well. Something has come into your spirit man. So what people are looking for on the outside, what people are looking for in things, has come into you. And Jesus said what it would do is the focus and the goal. This is what makes this interesting. He said the focus and the goal of that water is to bring satisfaction of thirst. Can you see? It means any gospel that you have listened to that is not bringing you to the point of what? Completion. Any gospel you have listened to that does not bring a sense of fulfillment right now in you is not a full gospel. He said it is the true gospel. You will come to a point where I say, my thirst is satisfied. I've drank. I'm fulfilled. I'm completed in Christ Jesus. Thank God for scriptures that says that you are complete in him. You are complete in him. All you need for life and godliness is right there in you. He said you are complete in him. What people are looking for, with sense of meaning they are looking for. People are asking the question, am I great? Am I important? Am I significant? Does my life count? Is my life valuable? Am I somebody to be reckoned with? The questions of life that drive people here and there, to and fro, those questions were answered in your spirit, man. At what salvation? Jesus said, the water I will give to you. When he said the water, he was focusing on satisfaction. He said, the water I'm giving to you will be a well within you, supplying and providing and producing for eternal life. That's what we see there.
Yes, to stress this further, in case you are feeling inadequate or somebody is telling you you are inadequate, it might be a situation, it might even be somebody, personality that you respected, that you seek for the admiration, the recognition, the people that speak to your life, the things that speak to your life, they're telling you are not enough, you need to have, you need some add-ons. But you just have to remember the word of Jesus and said he has put this spring inside of you. And so whenever you feel inadequate or life situations is making you feel like you need to tap in and know that you have all that is needed for this satisfaction, to quench every thirst, to get to every itch inside, is right inside of you. You need to awaken it up. You need to tap it up. You know that it's a spring of life. It's not like a tap that can run dry. So it's inside of you. So knowing that it is inside of you and the responsibility is on you to be aware of it, to tap it, to stir it up. I know that you have a spring. A walking spring. That is it. You can never feel dry or feel thirsty.
Thank you so much. You know, there's one thing he said in this world. He says, the water I will give him shall be a well of water, springing up to what? Releasing the life. It means if you receive the well in you, which is Christ Jesus in your spirit, he said, what he's supposed to do is to release and begin to release that satisfaction, that life into it. Means you will need to learn how to draw on that which you have in your spirit. And that's why in the book of Isaiah, it said, with joy, you will draw water from the well of salvation. You see, it means he's saying that people that have sadness will not be able to draw. It means there's a joy that must well up within you. And that joy becomes your siphon to begin to draw on that which you have. And that's why we are here on this Bucket Ministry series, to teach you the steps, the guidelines by the word of God on how you can lay hold and begin to draw on the what? The well of salvation. It means every time you as a believer, if you are a Christian and you're listening to this and you're wondering, where is this satisfaction they are talking about? You cannot feel it around your life. I mean, you still feel inferior to people that lay claim of their meaning in life on other things. You feel that you are on the back foot. You feel like you're not there yet. Or you feel like, I think I would need to have so much more for me to feel valuable. When you get to this point, it doesn't really mean that you don't have the well inside you, if you're a believer anyway. It doesn't mean you don't have the well. What it means is you're not drawing
from it.
From the well. He said the water I will give you will be a well springing up to everlasting life. It means it's one thing to have the well. It's a whole different thing that you begin to draw from that well. So what you need to learn is, how do you draw? And that's why I just quoted the person Isaiah that says, with joy. With joy in your spirit, man, you allow the well to release that fulfillment, that satisfaction into your life. And that's why the Apostle Paul would keep saying to believers, Philippians chapter 4, he said, I say rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Don't forget that the Apostle Paul was making that statement. According to biblical history, they said he was in prison when he made that statement. Why was he doing that? What he was doing at that point, he was drawing on the well, the water of well of salvation. And that's why people couldn't understand Paul. That's why you see the jailer who actually had Paul and Silas in prison. He was the one even asking them to say, please, what shall I do to be saved? Does that make, look at that. This jailer seemed to be the one that had the upper hand, politically speaking, because he was the one that kept Paul in prison. Paul and Silas, he seems to be the one that had the upper hand. He seemed to be in a higher position, speaking in all ramifications. Paul was the one that was disadvantaged. Paul was the one whose physical circumstances wasn't desirable at that time. But look at it. The man saw in Paul a sense of freedom. Completion, of freedom, of liberty, of a man who is living his best life now.
People, even in bonds.
I mean, I see people have written some books, your best life now. But here was Apostle Paul living his best life now. So the man asked him, well, I think I need something.
I'm
the one in prison.
I need to be
this
saved.
Apostle Paul is free. That's why the Apostle Paul said, the bond man of Christ is a free man. That's what he said. The man who is bound to Christ is a free man. That's what he said in the word. Can you see that? The man saw in Paul. So Paul, using the device of joy, began to draw on the well of salvation. So to you today, as you listen to this, come to an understanding today of the well that is in you. For this woman, in John chapter 4, it was a promissory note. Jesus said, the water I will give. You know why Jesus said that? He had not been to the cross. He had not gone to die. For you cannot be listening anymore to the water I will give. For you, if you are a believer, is the water he gave. For you,
he has given that.
John chapter 4, verse 15 for you, verse 13, sorry, and verse 14. For you, it is the water he gave you. And that water in you is a spring learned by the Holy Ghost, by joy to begin to draw on. Joy means be excited about what you have.
Yes,
can you see?
What he said you have.
Be excited about what he said you have. Place so much premium on what he said you have. Put value on what he said you have. Think about what he said
Put
you
that
have.
In focus.
Put that in focus. Talk about it. Rejoice about it. You know, there's a
so
place.
In the midst of circumstances, you have to align your views to what is inside of you. That is when you refocus on this.
Oh my God.
When you refocus on it, that means you are shifting your attention from what people are saying or what is happening.
Oh my God. And be excited about it. You know, there's a place in the gospel where Jesus said there was a woman, there was a person that found a treasure. And he went to call the friend and say, hey, I found a treasure in my field. The excitement, that's the word. The person was so excited, I found a treasure. Announce it to everyone. Are you excited about the well? Are you excited that Jesus said to you that you are he gave everything for you. He forsook his glory, forsook his kingdom, forsook his riches, forsook his wealth, forsook his Godship. Because the Bible said he didn't cling to his Godship. He forsook everything because he thought you were so valuable. I mean, can you meditate on that? Can you think about that? And the more you think, the scripture says there's a joy that will well up in your spirit, man. That joy becomes your channel to draw from the well of salvation. That's what we see that Jesus was telling this woman. Something would happen to you that the world can never have unless they believe in Christ Jesus. Now, you see, you want to say one or two things?
Yes, if you do this so well, you'll be able to water other people's paths. You water the paths. And
amen.
You can see, we are talking about Paul and Sarah. I see Peter and John too.
Exactly.
See, these things, we do not have a nickel to our name.
Amen.
But what we have, you know, that's the thing. He
we'll
understand what was inside of him. Though it had nothing physically in the, when it comes to fiscal money, I'm talking about the money.
Oh,
it's nobody, it has nothing. But he said, this is what I have, I know. And that is until we come to life, we can address life and situation and say, this is what I have. I know what I have that is deep inside of me, the intangible words of Christ.
Amen.
And this time we can make use of that, and we know that we can bless. He blessed that with the lame man, the visible because of what he has. So by the time we walk in the reality of this truth, we'll be able to water the path of other people around, and that is doing what the Lord would have us do.
Thank you for that. Now there's something I don't want us to miss today. we should not lose focus on something very important in that verse. Can you please read verse 14, the last verse, the last
the last part of that verse 14,
John chapter 4, the 14th verse.
But the water that I give him will become in him,
okay,
a spring of water, satisfying his thirst for God.
Satisfying, can you see satisfying? I mean,
welling up, continually flowing, bubbling within him to eternal.
That's the word. I mean, bubbling up. I wanted to look at that continuous tense. That's the word that we want to focus on, the continuity of the tense. You had a bubbling up. The KJV translation has the word springing up. Now, welling, bubbling, sprinkling, these are continuous tenses in English language. It means a continuous activity. So Jesus said, I won't just put the well in your spirit, man. I won't just come to save you. I will not just come into your heart at new birth. There will be a continuity of a process. There's a springing, there's a bubbling, there's a flowing. There's a continuity. That's the word I want us to focus on today. So when Apostle Peter met the man by the gate beautiful, the man that was begging with John, when he said, silver and gold we don't have, but that which you have we give unto you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now there was a flow of the power of God that went into the knees of that man, and he rose up and began to praise the Lord. Now what actually happened was that there was a flow. It means there was a continuity. There was a power. There's something going on. Every time you acknowledge and recognize the well in your spirit, there's a springing that goes with it. It's a springing. See, not it sprung. It welled up. No, it is a springing up. There's a welling up. There's a bubbling. There has to be a continuity of experience that doesn't come until somebody acknowledges the well in their spirit. And that's why today some of you are there thinking, do I need another greater spiritual experience? Some of you are trying to go for one special convention, one special conference, one special meeting where you have another level of spiritual experience so as to what? To deal with the circumstance. You don't need another level of experience beyond the well. What you need is a continuity of springing up.
Yes, that's what you need.
That's the springing up is where a lot of people got short-circuited. That springing up, that bubbling. And it never happens unless you draw on with joy, unless you draw with acknowledgement. That is what actually happens there. That's what we see the word. The welling, the springing, the bubbling. Look at those tenses. That's what we see by the word.
Today, we trust the Lord that we're able to bring you up to this point of appreciation for this word that keeps giving, you know?
Yeah, that's...
Because we have some gift that people give to you just for a season.
The one that keeps giving. The gift... That keeps giving. The well that keeps springing.
That is it.
The well that keeps bubbling. The well that keeps flowing. That's what we see in the world.
So if we appreciate it today, we come to that point of appreciation today, you know that everything has been settled, you know, because you know that it's a gift
the well.
That is not timed. And that is the thing. So people think about and that's why we have just verses in the epistle that tell us that gift of God that without repentance. Because the way people deal with it and they understand the gift, they feel, this is for a season, and they look into their life like maybe I'm not worthy of it anymore. Somebody convinced them, or situation convinced them,
or maybe they're not feeling it anymore.
He has stopped.
What has happened? Yeah,
and some misinterpreted some instances, maybe in the Old Testament, I feel, and God has withdrew this from them. And we want to know that this gift that even Jesus was talking to that, he said, it's springing up. You need to mind their tenses, I don't know if I can say that. Loud enough, we need to mind the tenses. It's like this gift I'm giving to you, I'm not going to change my mind about it. This gift, the nature of this gift is so packaged that it's keep giving. You can't outrun it.
Keep springing.
Whatever your situation, circumstance. Somebody might say, oh, you don't know my situation. I have things that keep demanding, but we say you cannot outrun this gift.
It's
springing. You're a walking fountain. You need to realize that. That you have a spring well inside of you and a springing per minute. By circumstance, for every situation, you have a bubble, it's bubbling inside of you. You need to tap into the fullness of the Spirit.
By acknowledging, that's it. Acknowledgement releases. Joy releases it. Joy draws on it. Acknowledgement draws on it. That's what we see by the word.
If anyone has already said it, that the communication of your faith be...
If effectual, it can be felt. If that's the word, you can see the effectual means.
So it will do nothing to you.
So that it can be felt around. So,
it will be nothing to you. It will have been nothing to Peter and John, and it will not have been able to help the lame man if it is not tapped into, if it was not acknowledged. He made a bold declaration and said, I know what I have. So I hope people can go into the asset column, you know, where you do the accounting and say, yes, I've put the gift of God in it. And that is my net worth. This is my, I know what I have here. And that's why Peter was able to say that. So until you come to acknowledge this, then it becomes effective in your life.
Amen. Now, see, the reason why what we are discussing this today is very important is for you to understand that everything that you need for every spiritual experience is packaged in Christ. You did not receive, let me tell you this, at new birth, you did not receive a part of the Spirit. You did not receive a dimension of the Spirit. At new birth, you received Christ.
Yes.
Christ in you. That's what he said. He didn't say part. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, the question you want to ask is Christ complete? Oh, yes. Question. Now, the answer is in the scriptures. He said, in the scripture, we are told that Christ is the fullness of God in bodily form. What does that mean? It means everything about God. Everything that God is in person, in nature, in his presence, in his manifestation. Everything is packaged in Christ. So Christ is the fullness of God. In fact, the book of Hebrews called it the brightness of God's glory. So what you receive, Christ in you, is the fullness of God. It means for every expression you have not yet experienced, for every gift of the Spirit you have not yet manifested, even if it's about the gift of the Spirit, you know, the nine gifts of the Holy Ghost. I mean, for every gift you have not yet manifested, for every grace you have not yet exhibited, it means what is left is a continual drawing on to put faith in the Christ that you have received, because he is the fullness of God right there in your spirit man. You see, what we have come today is that we are expecting the body of Christ to elevate, to place value and treasure, to put premium on the Christ that you have received at new birth. Because he says one thing. He said he has come to spring up. He said springing up, bubbling up. He says welling up. He said that is what his mission is, a continual impact and effect in your life on a daily basis. That's what Christ
before we move away from the incidents in Acts chapter 3, we thank the Lord that through the working of the Holy Ghost in the life of Peter and John, they were able to demystify this. And I trust the Lord that we are doing the same today. So some people were wondering, astonished, and looking at them as if they have done something special. He said, no, we just faith in this name. We just put prayer on this. We just acknowledge. You could have done this yourself. Because really, today, you know, some people do this and they don't give the explanation. For those who get astonished today, there are people start looking and thinking it was their holiness. It was their special penalty. Some will say special covenant or something. I received this commission or something. That's why it's working. He said, no, what I have is what you have received. And he went into the long history of how Jesus came. It was the simple gospel, again, to tell them how. Everything, we have the same Jesus. We are not talking about a different Jesus. And the same way you came into it, it was the same way I came into it. It's just acknowledging that I have this. That is why we need to explain this today.
Now, thank you for that. Now, what we're going to be looking at today is to see, because I want us to look at Galatians chapter 4 before we carry on, you know, I mean, into verse 15. Galatians chapter 4, you can read from verse 6 to verse 10, and we see an insight the word of the Lord has to give to us.
And because you really are his sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts.
Can you see what God sent into our heart is the spirit of his son, the spirit of Christ.
Crying out.
Does that sound similar to what he said in that John chapter 4, that I'm going to put a well inside of you? Now, crying out. Now,
Abba, Father.
Can you see? He says, when I put a well in you, something begins to spring up. Can you see? He said there's a crying. There's a response. That there's something that begins to flow out from our lives. He says what? Abba what?
Abba, Father.
Now, please understand the fact that when we say Father, even in the generic sense, the word Father talks about the source, the origin. People talk about somebody was the father of the aeroplane. It doesn't mean he went to the hospital and gave birth to the aeroplane. It just means that he is the originator. You can't, he was the one, it was his idea that gave birth to that invention. So Father, in the generic sense or in the colloquial sense, is just beyond the fact that you give birth to, it's about the originator. From where did it come from? And that's why we use the word Father for parents as well, you know, because the children came from them. So in that sense, he's saying that we get to a point at salvation that we understand that what we receive, that the spirit of what? Christ, and what it did is to tell us about our origin, where we came from, our source, that we are no more from the earth, we are no more from this world. that this world is not our origin anymore, that in the new birth, in salvation, who we are, our DNA is completely metamorphosed, is completely changed. And says that's what we begin to cry out. Abba what? Oh. Abba, because we have received something into our spirit, the Spirit of Christ, the Son of God. Now go on, please.
Therefore, you're no longer a slave, but a servant.
Mark that word. You're no longer what?
A slave.
A slave. Now, can you see why Jesus was making a proposition to the woman in John chapter 4? He said, woman, when you drink, when you get satisfaction, when the sense of who you are is coming from anything else, what will happen is you will what? You will thirst again. Now, if he says you will thirst again, please. You were saying something at that time about the fact that a system where people keep going back. So, I don't know anything else more than that you call slavery. Yes. I mean, slavery means when you're not free, when you need to be with someone, when you are tied to a system, when you are tied to a denomination, or when you are tied to a father in the Lord, or when you are tied to money, or when you are tied to people, or when you are tied to possession, or when you are tied to anything, that without that thing anyway, you just cannot face life. You need it to face life. That is the epitome of what?
Slavery.
You're not free. You're bound to that thing. Because that thing tells you, if you don't come to me again next season, or you don't come to me next time, you know, you're going to be in trouble. Can you see that? And Jesus, this scripture is simply saying that this is what the gospel has come to smash in our lives. Can you see? Any gospel you have received that has not liberated you from the need to engage things, to cling to things for life to make sense for you. That's it. Some people claim they have received Christ Jesus the Lord. They claim they are born again. But they have not learned on how to draw on the well of salvation.
Themselves.
And yet, they are in a situation where they still have to have things, people, and all that to make sense of life. It means you're not making the, you're not laying hold on the power of redemption. So he's saying to them here that the reason God sent the Spirit of His Son into you, the reason He gave you the well that's welling up to eternal life, the reason why you are responding and crying, Abba Father, is because He has come to deliver you from every slavery upon the earth. You see, that's a slave.
You're no longer a slave, born servant.
Okay.
But a son.
A son, good.
And if a son,
okay,
and also an heir through the gracious heart of God through Christ.
Good. Go on, please.
Verse 8. But at that time, when you did not know the true God,
okay,
and were unacquainted with Him,
okay,
you Gentiles were slaves to those pagan things,
okay,
which by their very nature were not and could not be gods at all.
Go on, please.
Verse 9. Now, however, since you have come to know the true God through personal experience, or rather to be known by God, how is it that you are turning back again to the weak and worthless elemental principles of religions and philosophies to which you want to be enslaved all over again?
Now, can you see what it's simply saying? That this is what we are actually highlighting today. That this matter of you understanding that water that Christ came to give to bring satisfaction, this matter becomes very critical because there are other options on ground. And he's simply saying here in the latter verses that it's amazing for those who are already saved,
again,
for those who are born again, for those who have received this well that is supposed to be welling up to eternal life, that is meant to bring in satisfaction so that you will not need other waters.
Water.
He says, isn't that amazing that you are not responding and understanding and placing value on that which you have, that now you have to look outward again for that same meaning that the water has come to give you. And that's what he's trying to say here. He said, we're looking outward.
And going back again.
And going back and saying,
to those weak and worthless.
He called them worthless. In fact, there's a place he said they are no gods.
Principles of religions. So he said, to put in religion, they are philosophies
in context. He said, they even going back to say that he said they are not even gods because these things are competing for the place of godship in our heart. Now, you see, before we carry on today, I need you to be patient with us as we begin to go through this bucket ministry series. Because we're going to, by the grace of God, look at different dimensions of these things. You know, when Jesus said in the gospel, and he said, you cannot serve God and man. I mean, you're wondering. I know people have quoted those verses and all that. The reason why Jesus is simply saying that is because he's saying that we are incapable. We don't have the capacity as humans, as people, to actually place exactly the same premium on two things at the same time, the same level. He said you cannot. Only one thing will be ultimate for you in life. Only one thing will be the most valuable thing for you in life. And if that thing is mammon, it means God is still valuable anyway. You don't get it. But it's just not as the ultimate, the overhacking, most important person in our life. So he's simply saying, that's why he mentioned the word, this is our what? No gods. This is our competing for the place of godship. They are competing to be Lord as well. Just like Jesus is Lord, they are also competing to be Lord. And it says what happens is every time you look at anything that to satisfy you, you become enslaved to that thing. Because you always need to arrange the meeting with that thing every single time. You always need to come in touch with it every single time so that you can keep being sustained by it. And that's what he's saying there. So he was telling that woman in John chapter 4, woman, I want to do something to you. I want to give you a well so that you will not keep going back to that water. Again. Because that water will keep making you thirsty. So this is it. So if you can't speak today. Now, you see, before we kind of, if you can say to yourself today and simply say, life is complete for me. I'm joyful about my life at the moment because of. Now, fill in the gap. Whatever you say because of, that is the thing competing for the place of God in your life. If it's not God, if it's not the grace of God that you received in what? In Christ Jesus. If you say life will be complete for me, or life will be meaningful for me until I go on that travel. Can you see? Until I go to that country. Until I make that connection. Until I hit that deal. Life will be meaningful for me until that person prays for me and lays his hands and pour anointing all over my head. Anything that you put in that place where you say, I think life will be meaningful and I'll be satisfied with life until that thing you say is what is ultimately providing the waters for your life. Even though you have the well in you that is meant to be springing up to eternal life, it means you're not placing premium on that which you have received. So that's what we see Jesus in John chapter 4, verse 13, making clear and bold to that woman that we see there.
You know what? My prayer today is just that this well over there to be elevated, the well that Christ promised and the one he has given us will be elevated in the hearts of our people, and they will be able to stay high in their estimation, in the hierarchy of things that they place things. Really, you have to see that some people are really, they are being smothered by all this weak and elemental, all these alternatives, because people have histories and testimonies. That's other wells. So people say, come and draw from the well of my experience. So people are drawing from the well of
They will use that water from well of experience.
Well of their own covenant, of their relation. And so, oh, that well, we see some workings in this environment. This is a sacred place and everything. This meeting is sacred. This yearly meeting, this is a covenant about it. You come around, you can draw from it. But from what we are reading, Galatians chapter 4, it was telling us those things are weak. We are not denying them. They are weak.
What is it that weak compared to the one that you have? So imagine living something very strong and looking something very weak.
So your attachment to it and adherence to it is you are attaching to a weak thing, to straw that cannot hold you for longer. It's going to be tiring. You're coming back to it.
Again.
You're not denying it.
Oh my God.
But we need to elevate this and see the way this world that Christ promised this woman and which he has given us to the believers, that this world I'm giving you is springing up, that he has a life of his own. Having a life of his own talks about the strength of it is bubbling.
It can hold you in time of trouble. It would come through for you. It will hold you.
You will not be enslaved to this. You will not be enslaved to people's covenants, and that's why people can misbehave. You cannot be enslaved to whatsoever that is on that ground.
Breaking and moth and rust can destroy whatever, if it's anywhere else.
All these principles and philosophies or something of the rules of life, of your life coach and all the kinds. That people are doing today, they are looking for this world, and it is weak. And that is that. The summary of it is that this week, you can need to get the definition and summary. With the conclusion of all these worlds is that they are weak
and
worthless.
Weak and worthless.
We need to estimate it that these are weak and worthless. Move away from what is weak to what is strong, and come to that well of life, and tap into that well of life. And you have not received Jesus, come into that well.
Now, thank you. Now, there was one thing you began to highlight, which is really, really very important for our listeners and viewers to grab, is the fact that the Apostle Paul, or whoever the writer of Galatians is, by the Holy Spirit, is simply emphasizing that which you have is the strong one.
Yes.
Galatian church. But I'm surprised you have the strong one and you are going for the weak one in your experience. The weak and the worthless one. What is this weak, like you said? The one that cannot hold you
for long.
The one that when you jump on it, you want to line it like a bird, it's going to disappoint you. That's the problem. In fact, the one
with sorrows and some gold.
The one that if you don't actually hit the target, it will disqualify you. It will condemn you and say, "Can you see? You are a nobody." And the reason why you're a nobody is because I set a target for you. You didn't achieve the target. Yeah, can you see? You're worthless. you don't matter. The kind it can it, see, these things are all encompassing. It could be financial, it could be social, it could be psychological, it could be racial, it could be religion, it could be in any ramifications. They cannot hold the deepest desire of your heart. They will deceive you. And that's why Jesus in the parable of the sower told us something about deceitfulness of riches. They will promise, overpromise, and they will underdeliver. Everything you turn to will overpromise, but they will never deliver. They can't really hold you because they cannot satisfy the deepest desires of your heart. Jesus said that's what he's come to do. And this is what we see there. And that's why in time of trouble, they cannot really save you. Really,
the
they
facade
will not
of strength is weakness. You know, they might show. That is the thing. Mm. You might look at them and see, like, look at those things and feel like, you know, it is strong enough. It can hold me. Just a facade. It is nothing. It is weak. That is it. You have to get the conclusion of God on these things and know how it is beyond how it appears that it is weak. It is concluded weak.
Mm. Now, you see, there's one thing I wanted to understand today. The resources of the earth, God gave it to us to enjoy. I mean, there's a place in Psalms that says the earth is the Lord's. The fullness, the earth and the fullness are inhabitant that are in it. He said, they are given the earth to the what? To the sons of men. The fatness of the earth beneath and the richness of the heavens above. He has given to the sons of men. That's why you notice today that people that have been granted wisdom, who have understanding, and they know how to use the earth resources, people are making great things out of it. They are solving life's problems. They are solving problems in technology, in engineering. They are coming up with new inventions. People are maximizing the resources of the earth. That's a very great thing. And if you are a believer, it's the same thing. That's why if you notice some of the richest people today are not even believers on the face of the earth. It's not about saying that you can use spirituality to say you want to, you know, all these people amass wealth. That's the satisfaction the gospel brings is bigger than that. It's not subservient. It's even bigger than that. That's why the jailer was asking Paul for help. It's bigger than that. But what we are trying to say is, as good as those things are, as good as you must maximize those things, you must take advantage of the goodness of God upon the face of the earth. But what you can never do is to make any of those things to compete with the place of God in your life. The scripture says, every water that men look to get satisfaction, Jesus said, you're going to thirst again. And Galatians 4 then even brings another understanding, say, become a slave. You become a slave, a bond slave. And that means you, even though you were set free in Christ, yet you have become back and getting into the hands of other things. I don't care what it is. You can think, you can get a pen and paper and write down things in your life that you are looking to for meaning and definition. It will enslave you if it's not the grace of God. That's what it simply says here. This is what Jesus was passing across to the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. Verse 13. Now, you want to say one or two things before we carry on? Let's go on quickly to the book of Isaiah. Let's look at another insight in this place. Isaiah chapter 44. Let's see the insight that gives us from verse 9. Chapter 44 from verse 9. Let's see another insight that gives us into these things. You can read, please.
All who make carved idols are nothing.
Okay.
Their precious objects are worthless to them.
Okay,
can you see? And their own witnesses, worshippers, fail to see or know, so that they will be put to shame.
He said it's worthless, isn't it? Yes. Worthless. It wouldn't say, isn't it? Carry on, please.
Verse 10. Mm. Who has made a god or cast an idol which is profitable for nothing?
Okay.
In fact, all his companions will be put to shame, for the craftsmen themselves are mere men.
Mm.
Let them all assemble, let them stand up, let them be terrified, let them together be put to shame.
Okay. Go on, please.
Verse 12.
Yes.
The higher smith shapes iron and use a chisel and work it over the coals.
Mm.
He forms the hider's core with hammers and work it with a strong hand.
Mm.
He also becomes hungry and his strength fails.
Mm.
He drinks no water and grows tired.
Good.
The carpenter stretches out a measuring line.
Mm.
He marks out the shape of the hydro with red chalk.
Mm.
He works it with planes and outlines it with a compass.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes it like the form of a man.
Mm.
But the beauty of man that it may sit in a house.
Okay.
He cuts cedars for himself.
Mm.
And takes a cypress or an oak and let it grow strong for himself among the tree of the forest.
Mm-hmm.
He plants a fire and the rain nourishes it.
Mm.
Then it becomes fuel for a man to burn. So he takes one of them and warm himself.
Mm.
He also kindles a fire to bake bread.
Mm.
He also make a god from the same wood and worship it.
Now, can you see that? I mean, now that we're reading some very few verses. It's quite long, but please bear with us. The reason we're doing this is to show you that according to the word of God in the New Testament, that the things under the old covenant, they are types and what?
Shadows
of good things to come. That's what the Bible says to them. The reality is in Christ. It means when you look at the old covenant, you look at imageries, you look at objects, they are types. There's a revelation of the reality in the new covenant in Christ Jesus. And that's what we're looking at Isaiah chapter 44 in the understanding. That is telling us here that this same man who is, into what? Blacksmith is forging to technology, engineering.
For himself.
He said he's doing that and he's even using them to warm his, to keep warm.
Make food.
This is
to satisfy his needs. So
yeah, which is good. That's why they say to you at a time that the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof is giving things to us. God has given you people
connection
to explore. He said, this is amazing. This is wonderful. This man is making use of technology to solve his problems. He's feeling cold. He had a wood in the fire. This is good, isn't it?
To warm himself, yes.
This is good. But what was amazing was, he said, out of the same thing, it did what? Look at verse 15.
Yes, he makes it into a calf. He also make a god. He also kindled a fire to bake bread. And he's feeding himself. He also made a god from the same wood. The same wood.
What the word of God is saying.
And worship it.
What the word of God is saying to you today. When Jesus told that woman in John 4:13, that if anybody drinks from this water, so if you're wondering, what in the world is that water? Jesus is saying anything can become that water as long as it goes from just being what is needed for life, which
yes,
is basic,
necessity.
And if it's been made into a god.
To worship.
If it's been made into something that you now say, okay, now, I think instead of me just saying that this is my job, I work for a company, that's a job. Which is good. It's bringing you money to feed your family and to achieve your dreams. But you are not saying, I will make this job into something that says, if they take that job from me, my life is over. If you say that, as a believer, if you think that, how can you think that if they take this job from me, my life is gone? When at that instance, if that's the kind of value you place on it, what you have done is you have made it into
God.
That's what he said. He said the same man. This is just basic things about life. He's using these things. I mean, he's forging tools. This is normal. But amazingly, he made it into. Can you see? He made it into. And at the instance where you made it into, that's when it becomes a water, another water to satisfy the meaning of life. That's what Jesus was telling this woman about. So if you're wondering, what is the water that Christ was referring to in John 4:13? It is everything normal around you. It is everything basic about life. It's every technology, every engineering, every money in your bank account, every people around you, the connections, your friends, your gathering, your association. Anything could be as long as it stops being what you use in life, but it's been made into. Because that's what this word of God is saying.
And it's good that you drew that out, because some people will just say, oh, I see wood, I'm going to run away. Like, no, they are running away from responsibility, running away from innovation, because people say, they look at the tendency, it could be a god, and they are running away from shirking away from their responsibility, from innovation, and dominating. They say, no, you can deal with this thing and understand it from the biblical understanding, and they are just meant to be food. It's just wood to make me warm. They are there to make me, to give me food, which is good, but not to become a god. So we should not run away from exploits. And we should not criminalize it or demonize all those good things that the Lord has put in place. Because some people, their approach to this is running away. They run away from the good things of life.
He says, the man kept want. Will you want to feel cold?
People are running away from the good things.
They might use the wood to make fire to keep warm.
So that in time of safety, they will not be tempted. So we need the maturity, and I think that's what Ezekiel 2:7 is going about, and it's to make us that in our senses, training our senses in the biblical senses for maturity. So now we can deal with this. We have a healthy biblical relationship with these things, and as we engage with these things of this world, as we engage with our wood, as we engage with keeping ourselves warm, as then the realization that it will not turn around and become a god that we begin to worship. We've so become so obsessed about it that we will do anything for it. No, it will not be a god. It will not rule over us. We will rule over it.
Good. Now, thank you. We will do anything to get it, and if we don't get it, we are completely devastated.
And we can destroy anything because we did not get it.
That's how you know whether you have fashioned it into a god, or this is what happened to this man. I mean,
so we have to walk the fine balance.
In fact, thank you for saying that. But also, a deep understanding of the gospel will automatically bring the balance.
Yeah.
Because then only Christ has taken that role anyway in our lives.
Yeah.
That is what Jesus was saying to that woman. When I give you a water, the water I'm going to give you shall be what? A well. So it means once it comes in there, everything around you, there will just be things of life that you use to keep warm, to get by. It will never become a water to give satisfaction anymore. And that's what, in fact,
even for your spiritual satisfaction, your need for a God. Because some people, they find everything, they just want to explain, why is this thing happening? In a bid for quest for explanation, but why am I on earth? They are not even needing this God. Why to explanation to define themselves as their own mantra and looking for a God to save themselves? You find that this world is to satisfy their spiritual quest for a savior, for a need for a savior, for a definition, for a need for expression, for a need of somebody to claim you. Because you're talking about God said, I'm your father. You know, they claim for ownership, people looking for who owns me. Somebody to claim me.
It's a spirit of sonship to us.
Yes. Okay, so people are looking for things to claim them today. And so they want to do this for identity and for this to get fame. They just want to have a name. And Father, yes, I've already have a name in Christ. You're already named in Christ. So all our needs are met from this word. That's why it's bubbling. So whichever direction you want it to come to, it bubbles and it's ready to supply.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Look at verse 17. Verse 17, what does it say?
But from what is left of the wood,
uh-huh.
he makes a god.
Uh-huh.
It's carved idol.
Uh-huh.
He falls down before it.
Uh-huh.
He worships it and prays to it and says, save me, for you are my God.
So, I mean, whatever we look to, to deliver us from every sense of shame,
sense of lack,
a sense of lack or sense of inadequacy, that is it. I mean, some people look to, in fact, some look to their children. I mean, children are the heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb
is reward. Not yours.
Not yours is from the Lord. But that which is supposed to be the fruit of the womb, that which is supposed to multiply and replenish the children and spread the life of God all over the earth, could be made into
God.
A God. I mean, how? When some people say, well, if my children are doing very well in life, then I know that my life counts. Then I know that my life was not useless.
Yes.
Some people say that in their hearts.
All prayers get towards it. Everything.
As long as my children succeed, then I know my life was worth it. If you ever say that in your heart, in your mind, in your psychology, in your psyche, what you've done is you fashion them.
As gods.
As gods. And that's what it says. And he says, if that is happening to you now, there'll be a question mark on whether you are drawing on the well of salvation. That's the place of the well. That satisfaction, that worth, that sense of worth, and that sense of value was meant to be coming from the well. So the question mark is, are you really drawing on the well?
Yeah, yeah.
Because Jesus said to that woman, if you drink from that water, you will thirst. You become a slave. But if you drink from the one I'm going to give to you, you know you become a slave. Even to the children, you become a slave to them. Because so even when their children does one or two things, they're always thinking, if I say this or everything happens, won't all my life crash down? Because every of my hope is on them. So that's why
my hope on my walk.
24/7, you are not relaxed. 24/7, you're on your toes. 24/7, you're under pressure. How did you get to that kind of slavery? Because you're not drawing from the well. The one that continually gives the meaning, the value, the satisfaction, thinking and meditating on what Christ did on the cross, his death, his burial, his resurrection, why it was for you, why he chose you from the foundation of the earth, thinking, meditating, being excited about these things. He said it will spring up in you so much that you will only use things in life, and things in life will not use you. This is what we see. Now, you see, there's a question mark before us. I know we're running off. There's a question mark. If you go back to verse 19, this is where the Lord began to question the human race.
No one remembers, nor has knowledge and understanding enough to say to himself, I have burned half of this log in the fire, and also baked bread on its cold, and I've roasted meat and eaten it. Then I make the rest of it into a repulsive thing to God. I bow down to worship before a block of wood.
He said, nobody's thinking that. The very same thing that I'm saying, deliver me, that I'm getting my meaning from, is the very same thing that I'm actually, these are the things I'm using in life. Why is the very same things I'm just using to get by, to deal with people?
Because their mode of transport is something that is using them, they're not the one
using it. He said, how come that thing now changed form and it's not the one controlling me? He said, the Lord is saying nobody's thinking
about this.
This doesn't make sense. That's what we see.
So today we just implore you that you put on your thinking cap. Yes, and mind your senses, and mind the tenses of the scripture that is saying it is already springing forth inside of you. It has not just come to dry up or stay from where you
got it. It's welling up.
It's welling up. And then you have to make a demand on this. Understand that this is eternal.
Draw water from the well of salvation.
And it has solution for every need.
Amen.
Your need for self-expression, your need for to understand why you are here. Even for this, it is there. So what's the last word you want to say?
But I want to say, you want to stick with us on this Bucket Ministry series. You know, we are still on the 13th verse of the 4th chapter of the book of John. Probably even less than half of all the verses of the discourse that this woman had with Jesus. I would trust as you continue to join us on different episodes that the light of the gospel will break forth in your spirit, that you will continually come to a deep understanding of what you have received, so that there will be a springing, a welling, a bubbling up continually happening in your life.
So we are glad that you could join us today. And for those people who have been asking about us, we thank you for checking up on us, and we say we are back. So you can share this message and the ones that we have. And so we want you to live it, and we want to see the fruit of this in your life. And you know, that would be refreshing to us here. So till we see you next time on your screen, we want to say, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord,
so walk in it. God bless you.